In today's Mishnah, we learn the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 10th Perek of Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah begins, V'chulam, meaning all these korbanot that are given to the Kohanim to consume. The Mishnah says, Hakonim rishim leshanot b'achalyatam, that they can consume it whichever way they like. Meaning, l'ochlam, they can eat it either tsluim, roasted, shlukim, which is stewed, or mevushalim, or cooked. So they can choose which way they want to prepare it. Furthermore, latet lotochan tavle chulin, they can able to add spices and various other things to improve its taste. They can either be from regular food, meaning there's not truma or not kodesh, and here Rabbi Shimon says, can even add the tavle truma. So if you remember, this is going all the way back, truma is the parts that are normally removed and given as a gift to the Kohanim, and only Kohanim can eat them. They have a certain kedusha associated with it, as we've discussed a lot in the past. So Rabbi Shimon says the Kohanim can bring their truma with them and then add to the korbanot when they consume them. However, Rabbi Meir disagrees. He says, no. Lo yiten l'tocho tavlei truma. You can't add any condiments that are from truma. Only chulin. Why? What's the issue of adding truma to it? That is, shelo yaviat truma l'dei psul. Because he says one runs a risk that if you add these extra things and extra food to the korban and you don't consume the entire mixture or the entire pot within the time that the korban is meant to be consumed, then the entire whatever's remaining, it becomes pasul, becomes invalid, one's not allowed to consume it, because as we referred to, it becomes what's called notar. It's left now beyond the lot of time. And what one has effectively done is have taken something that is cut or something that's truma and caused it to become pasul. So therefore, the Rebbe says, best not do that. One should not run the risk of doing that to truma, and if the Kohen wants to add anything to it, he has to make sure that it is chulin. Let's now learn Mishnah Ched. Rabbi Shimon says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Imra ita shemet shu mitchalek ba'azara. He says that if you're in the base of Mikdash and you see the Kohanim dividing out oil for their own consumption, we say, Eina tatzrich shol mahu. You don't have to ask, what are they doing? Where did this oil come from? Eleg, rather you know, it's only going to be one of two possibilities. The first is either it's motar rikike minchot Israel, either it's a leftover of the oil that came from the rikike menachot. Now, mincha offering is a meal offering, usually come from fine flour, sometimes barley as well, and it's also much of the time mixed with oil. So what we're referring to here, there are many types of mincha offerings, but he's referring to the category of minchat ma'afat tanur, as Kati explains. Now, there are two types. One is of this minchat ma'afat tanur is what's called the chalot mutzob velo b'shemen, these mincha offerings that are balul, that's mixed up with lots of oil. And another type is what's called rekike matzah. That's what's important for this Mishnah. Rekike matzah are like crackers or wafers, and they would take oil. Oil is brought with all the mincha offerings that require a log. A log is a particular volume of oil, of shemen. I believe it's about 600 mil of oil to come with it. And they would take this oil and then draw an X across the top of these rekike matzah for the rekike shemen. So you'd be left with some oil behind. And the motar rekike minchot Israel, meaning this leftover oil from this particular mincha offering, that would be distributed amongst the kohanim for them to eat. The lo shemen shel metzora, another possibility of what oil is being distributed, is this log shemen shel metzora. If you remember, where I described this already a number of times now, part of the purification of the metzora is one of the things they would do. They would actually bring this oil. The kohen would take the oil and pour it into his hand. He would dip it in there seven times and sprinkle it towards the base of Mikdash, and also then take from his hand, then place it on the ear, thumb, and toe, right of each of these of the metzora, part of the purification process, and the remainder that it's in his palm would place on the head of the metzora. But there's still going to be remaining oil left in the bottle that was brought before it was poured into the hand of the kohen. So that's the other remaining oil that is attributed to the kohen. Mishnah continues, Imra ita shemen shun natun al gabei ishim. If you see oil that is poured onto the mizbeach on its own, he says, Eina tatzrich shalomahu. You don't have to ask anyone, what is this oil that's being burnt? Because he says, once again, Ella, it's going to be one of two possibilities. Either it's going to be motar rikike minchot kohanim. So again, this other type of rikike, this wafer mincha offering where they used to mark on it with oil. But in this situation, it would have belonged to or come from a kohen. What's the difference with Kohen in Israel? Because with the Kohen, nothing is left over the Kohenim to eat. Everything, as the Torah says, it has to be kalilti, it has to all going to be burnt on the fire. So here, the remaining oil is going to be burnt on the fire. So that's why you'll see this oil burnt on the fire. So it must be from either the leftovers from this Kohen's rikike matzah, or this mincha offering, or it's minchat Kohen HaMashiach, or the Kohen, it could be from the minchat chavitin, the mincha offering the Kohen Gadol will bring every day. and a lot of oil will be brought with it, and the remaining oil would also be poured onto the Mizbeach. So he says those are the only possibilities. If it's being distributed, it's one of two, and if it's being poured on the Mizbeach, it's one of two possibilities. Because he says, she'ein mitnadvim shemen, because you can't have like a mincha offering of, or a voluntary offering of just oil. Someone can't come to the Beis Hamikdash and say, according to this first opinion, Rabbi Shimon, that I'd like to donate oil and use that as an offering on the Mizbeach. However, Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. He says, no, mitnadvim shemen. One could come with a bottle of oil and say, I'd like to use this as an offering on the Mizbeach. There's a debate exactly how much one would have to bring. Shlosh alugim, is it three lug, is it one lug? What would such an offering look like? So the way it's explained in Gehati is that it would mimic much like a mincha offering, such that a small amount would be removed, a kometz, if it was an Israel, meaning non-Kohen was bringing this oil, a small amount would be removed to be offered in Mizbeach, and the remainder would be given to the Kohanim. So now we have a third possibility of oil that is being distributed to the Kohanim for their own consumption. Alternatively, if this is a voluntary, let's call it an oil offering, that was brought by a Kohen, then, much like a mincha offering of Kohen, everything has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So now we have another korban that is going to, we have oil that is being poured onto the Mizbeach. So that's a third possibility that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. When someone sees oil poured on the Mizbeach, it's not just the two possibilities mentioned before, meaning from a mincha offering of a regular Kohen or the Kohen Gadol, but it could be from this oil offering of a Kohen. Those are the Mishnah today.